I have a couple questions before we actually get into the message or into having fellowship with the Lord. If since the first of the year, we're 1/4 through this new season, if since the first of the year that you have had trouble with your mind, forgetting things, or memory loss, long-term memory, or confusion, and you can say it is significantly different, I'd like to see your hands. Now, don't look at me. Just raise your hands and please look around. Please look around. That is just not old people raising their hands. That's not. Let me ask one other question. Since the first of the year, have you noticed a significant difference in the amount of time that you have to be available with fellowship with the Lord? A significant difference. Can I see your hand? Please look around. Everyone that had their hand raised, you evidently must have backslidden. Evidently, you must have lost your first love. And you care about other things more than you did last year. That's the war we're in. That's only two parts of the war that we're in. And I believe that we're taking it as commonplace. We're unable to win the war that we're in if we do not identify the enemy and destroy him. If he's able to steal and continually steal your time, he will steal your life. And you will love the Lord just as much as you've always loved him. You will become concerned that you're failing. You will become concerned that you have no authority. And there's not a one of you that raised your hands that you do not want more of him, or that you're not pressing towards the mark. We do not, and never will we, wrestle against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, etc. The word that came to the prayer center at the beginning of this year, you may partially know it by heart. This year coming up is the year where you and I sell out to him. There's going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center. This was a specific word to the family of the prayer center throughout the world. This was not a word to the world. It was a word to the prayer center. And the prayer center is not this building. Lord, help us if it is. But it's to you as an individual. And it's to everybody that's touched and their heart has latched on to what the Lord is doing within the prayer center. With good intentions, with great warfare, some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. In other words, the Lord's saying, I'm pleased with what I see at the end of this season. And I'm telling you, it's okay. I'm telling you, I'm not concerned. So you need not be concerned. I'm not troubled. I'm not frustrated. It's okay. I'm bigger than this. I am in this. I'm actually creating this. If you follow my instructions and sell out. It's the year of selling out to Him. Whatever His will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. If you'd like to turn with me to Romans 8. I'm going to give you all the references for those of you that are keeping notes. I'm going to read Romans 8, 26 and 27. Then I'm going to go to Romans 8, 34. And then I'm going to go to Hebrews 7, 25. For the sake of time, I'm only going to read King James. But for those of you that are studying the Word or studying the messages, I would highly recommend that you go to the Amplified or whatever your personal preference is as you study what we feel as though the Father is saying to us as a family. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8:34. Who is it? He that condemneth. Who is it that condemns you? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, He, which is the Lord Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make His intercession for them. Have you ever just stopped and thought that two out of three of the Godhead lives to pray for you non-stop? I still wonder what the Lord Jesus sees in the value of Him committing His eternity to praying for me and praying for you. Never, never stops praying for us and making intercession. And we know, been taught in regards to the Holy Spirit, that He continually, as we allow Him to pray through us, is making intercession for us. And is making intercession for us without us praying, incidentally. He ever liveth also. For you. For me. I want to read several things that the Lord has said. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. I am not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. For I stood and walked among men. Every one of your feelings, every one of your infirmities that you've experienced since the first of the year and since you were born, but let's major in on this year. He walked among us. And He can feel every one of your infirmities, every one of your weaknesses. I sit at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you. So hearken unto me and stand in the furnace of purging. So hearken unto me and stand in the furnace of purging, and I will deliver you from the hand of your enemy, as his hold is broken over your flesh, and you will walk in the fullness of my glory. Great warfare. For few eyes in the hour in which you live in are able to see things as they really are, for they are clouded by deception and the wiles of the adversity as he works his plan and purpose through the religious systems of the day. For few there be that are yielded unto my spirit, who pray much in the Holy Ghost. Because of this, the enemy has taken undue place. These things must no longer be. For those who will take a step towards me, selling out, I will not only manifest my mind, but I will manifest my emotions through them. For I am not only a God of mercy, I am a God of wrath and all-consuming fire. And I desire to purge out of my people those things that stands between me and the full operation and reception of my glory. But few there be that can stand in the furnace of purging to the completion of the death to the flesh. That is why there is so little power in the land. Welcome to the furnace. I am not one who cannot be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, for I stood and walked among men. I sit at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for men. So hearken unto me and stand in the furnace of purging, and I will deliver you from the hand of your enemy. As his hold is broken over your flesh, and you will walk in the fullness of my glory. But understand that power and persecution go hand in hand. So lift up your eyes in the evil day. That persecution begins to emanate from those yielded to the adversity around you. Great division. Great division. The majority of the adversity that you will be going through is those that live around you. We've already won, but that's where the persecution is going to come. Understand that your war is not against flesh and blood, but against wicked spirits whose desire is to possess the land. Pray for them and bless. Do not curse, and you will be able to stand and receive all that I have for thee. Understand the wiles of adversity, his desires, and his plan. He's asking you to study, to show yourself approved, and to know your enemy. And don't look at flesh and blood. Some of you that I know, some of you that we've had fellowship, I understand. No, I don't understand. Not the way he understands. I just know some of the adversities you've went through. And you win because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And as Dave has shared more than once, take your eyes off of the red cape and put your spiritual eyes on the matador that's holding the cape and moves it however he wants to, and destroy the matador. And you have been given all the authority to do so, if you'll use it. If you'll use it. I gave a handout this morning, and if you all have a copy of it, I'd like to go to that handout. My desire this morning was for me to sit back down and take my hand out and just read it for the full hour. But he evidently has something else in mind, so I didn't get to do that. Do you have your hand out? I want to read another word, maybe two, that the Lord gave the prayer center. And this one is probably one of my all-time favorites. It doesn't have to be your all-time favorite, but if it's mine, you just have to listen to me read it again. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will put a higher priority on my word than they do food that would sustain them, necessary food. I'll leave it at that. They will no longer take my words lightly, as entertainment, almost as something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm, I've gathered you into myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. And this is a warning. This is something that you put on your bathroom mirror. This is something that you somehow remove it quickly from your brain and let it walk past over a bridge into your spirit so that you have it as a solid rock inside your spirit, and your spirit will renew your soul to come into agreement with it. The statement is this: with the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. I passed the present day speaking out, and for those that are watching by internet, there's a document out there on Dave's website, present day speaking. It's much neater than this one. This one's readable. That one looks much nicer. I would like you to take these. If you're not signed up on the internet, if you're not signed up to get these, you need to do that. The majority of you probably are here at the church. If you're not, they're always out there. The ones that come forth on Sunday are there by Tuesday, and those that come forth on Wednesday service, they're normally there by Friday. It's following the instructions that I believe the Lord gave Gary, that what he speaks here on Sunday morning, he wants it in Zimbabwe by Monday morning. So we pick that up as a truth for everything that comes forth from the prayer center. And they're out there. So you don't have to wait until this comes out probably once a month. And it's a compilation and a summary of everything that's come forth. But if you wait for this type of document to come out, you could starve to death. You could. Or you could not win at the level that you're all wanting to win the battle. We're very aware of that the enemy is not stationary. He doesn't sit around waiting. He's aggressively trying to destroy the word. Immediately comes. The sooner you get it, the sooner you get it into your heart, the more you meditate on it, etc., the more you win. Based on just what this said, you will see the results. When we're doing some counseling and some sharing, it's very clear that the individual has not picked up the only offensive weapon that we have in the armor, which is the sword. And they've even laid it down versus it being in their sheath and pulling it out and using it against the enemy. And there's really nothing that you can do to help them. because they're going to walk away and they're still going to have their sword laying on the ground and they're going to want to come back a week from now for another fix. And it's just not possible. The sooner we all realize that we're fully accountable, 100% fully accountable for our own life, and no one else is, the sooner you will walk in victory. The sooner you will walk in victory. Greater is he that it is in you, if you know he's in there, than he that's in the world. I could read through some of these, but I think where I want to go is to the word on the back page for you. I do want you to have time, if the Lord allows me, for you to read some of these. I don't know what your habit is with words that come forth for your personal life and words that come forth from here that, you know, I have a habit of reading a proverb a day, and I have a habit of reading 5 psalms a day, and I have a couple of devotional books that I like to read. It's been speaking to Leah and I for the last, how many? 10 years. Notice that I asked before I quoted. You have to eat this. You have to eat it. Let's go to April 2nd. No double-mindedness. A people laser focused. Could you get the laser light? Let's read it together, or I'll read it and you can read along with me. I have sent my spirit to drive double-mindedness away from the midst of you. You shall be a people laser focused, where my will flows through you as purely and clearly as the sunshine through a clear glass window, to bring light to a dark world and to set the captives free. Now, if you want to write out to the side instruction, if you want to write out to the side a personal promise, every instruction you've heard me, one of my confessions is every instruction that you give me, Father, is a promise from you. That if I'm obedient, you will fulfill that instruction through me by your grace and your power. It's truly a promise. That word promises us that your individual light within your blueprint and within your calling, your individual light will go into a dark world and will set the captives free. Show that laser right here. Everybody see that? You don't see it. Who doesn't see it? I'll pray for your eyes. That's how narrow-minded the Father is asking you to become and no longer be double-minded. That in itself will cause great division. That in itself is asking us to sell out. That in itself, in Gary's case, will eliminate a lot of football and a lot of news. He's asking for that level of fellowship. You realize it's fellowship? Do we all realize it's fellowship? It's not a job. It's not work. It's fellowship. I want all of you. And when I have all of you, you get all of me. And you will see setting the captives free. I would suggest, only a suggestion, you pray about what the Lord tells you to do with this type of thing. I like to read these back to him. I love to. I really love to. Let's go to January 5th, and I'll practice with you. Not practice with you. Before I get lost, let me say a couple of things that I would do with this document. One of the major things I would do is I would turn each one of them into a praise and worship time. A praise and worship, a thank you time, a joyful time with the Lord. I would look scriptures up if you have an ounce of doubt that the word, this word, that it does not say the same thing. If the enemy comes against you and says, well, that's not in the Bible, I'd first call him a liar because that's all he has. But I'd go find it, and I'd go find two or three. And some of them will be hard to find, not because they're hard to find, only because your soul has not been renewed to it, and you will find it. There's nothing outside of the Word within these documents. They'd never get on this sheet. He's only translating it for us so that we can understand it with the amount of time that we have available, because he knows how busy the enemy has already caused us. So he becomes your strongs and your weaks and your dictionary and everything, and he just says, okay, I know what they're going to need, so I'm going to give it to them. Hopefully they'll just read it. No, you do read it. No, that was negative. Sorry about that. Okay. My plans have not and will not change in regards to the mission of the prayer center. Lord, do you really mean that? How can you mean that? Don't you see this? And don't you see that? And what about this? And he will clarify your thinking, and he will bring you the mind of Christ, and it will destroy your carnal mind, or let's say it'll remove it out of the way for you to see what he thinks, what he sees, and what he knows in every one of these words. And you will enjoy it. You will end up in praise and worship. You will end up marveling. You will end up, the next phone call you get, you will say, do you know that the Lord said this? Because you've eaten it. You've lived it. You've enjoyed it. That does not eliminate you spending time in here. I'm not replacing this with the Word of God. I'm merging it into the Word. You can do the same with the Word. Well, I have one other thing that I feel as though I'm supposed to share, and then I'd like to give you an opportunity to read it. This type of a document, like your blueprint and like everything else that you've written out, is one of the best ways to not allow the enemy to steal what you've heard. It's like documenting a dream. How many of you have had a dream and you felt of the Lord that you were supposed to document it? And as you're documenting it, he adds to it. Not only does he give you the definition, but he adds to what partially you forgot or that was not resident in you to where you could see it really clear. And if you haven't experienced that, please, please experience it the next time you have a dream. There's no condemnation about the past. The blood's already taken care of. Every failure, everything that you've ever done, according to your record in heaven, you've never failed the Lord if you've asked Him to forgive you. So what's the big deal? I'm a brand new child right this moment. And so I go on. And the Holy Spirit has quite a number of ways of getting across to you the same truth. And He never becomes weary in well-doing. And He never pouts because you didn't listen to Him the first time. He doesn't have any of those attributes. He's just thrilled that you want to try again. One of the people that I enjoy listening to, I don't get to as much as I would like to, but he brought the principle forth that you never fail a test with the Lord. You never, ever fail a test with the Lord. Because He always gives you a chance to take it over. He always gives you a chance to take it over. Is that not love? Is that not love? I'll give you a chance to take it over. I'm not keeping any records of your wrong. Love does not keep records of wrong. I'll just give you another chance. Let's go on and let's have fellowship over your next success. And let's quit thinking about the past. Wasn't it Gary up here standing with this arm out and this arm out about being double-minded? Just enjoy it. Okay. You get to hear one of my other very all-time favorite instructions from the Lord or teachings. I'm going to read it. For those of you that the enemy has said, you're late. For those of you that the enemy has said, you've missed it. For those of you that the enemy has said, you're too old, etc. Or everything that the Lord has ever told you will not come to pass because of this, or because of that, or because of this. This comes from one of the face-to-face teachings of Gary Carpenter's. They're out on his website. You will enjoy them. It starts out this way. 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. I remind you again of the Father's plan for Abram. Which was first, hope or faith? First came the image of hope as he led Abram out to see the stars. By that method, the Father painted hope on the canvas of Abram's heart. Abram now had a vision. First comes the vision. First comes the hope. Hope must be imparted first. A lively hope that is more real than the natural circumstances. This document and your words are full of hope. They originated from the heart of hope. Your hope. And then 6 days later, the Lord said this, "Remember the word I spoke to you saying, 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope?" That ratio is correct. Those numbers are accurate. "I gave them not by chance unto you," says the Spirit of grace. "I just didn't pick a number. I gave you the exact number and the exact ratio that I wanted you to put inside your heart. I didn't say 1 hour one day or 1 hour one year. I said 4 hours and 4 years. This is the measure by which the rate of transformation shall be increased as you learn to incorporate hope with all of your speaking. Eat my word. Eat my word. Have it more important than the necessary food." Now, if you want to take a pencil, and if you take 4 hours, 4 hours equals 4 years of you developing godly hope with the words that he has brought forth into your life. These are part of them. In 4 hours' time, spending developing godly hope will save 4 years of your life. 4 years of growth. How many have been part of the prayer center for, let's say 12 years? Look, okay. Nice attendance. You're still here. Okay, that's nice. 8 hours represents 8 years. 12 hours represents 12 years. 5 hours. 20 hours represents 20 years. You are not late if we begin to do this. The Lord said he would make up for the years of cankerworms eaten. Lord, how are you going to make up for all the years that I've wasted or that I think I've wasted? Tim, why don't you take 4 hours? I prefer 4 hours in one stretch. And your mind is saying, that's impossible. I agree. I will come in. But 4 hours a week? We were going to get into time utilization, but that'll be sometime. 4 hours a week? You have 168 hours in a week. If you tithe that time, that's 16 hours of fellowship with the Lord. No longer double-mindedness. Still love me? I didn't say it. He said it. He's the one that said it. See you in 30 minutes. Love you.